We're starting the Torah again, and we started the Torah again yesterday on Simchas Torah, and Parshas Bereishis this week we have the opportunity to learn about really the very beginnings of humankind. And at the beginning of humankind, God puts Adam and Chava in Gan Eden, starts out, and eventually, 10 generations later, unfortunately, things have gone awry. God starts over again with Noah and his descendants. And many of us are familiar with the idea of that while we Jews, we have our Taryag Mitzvos, we have our 613 commandments, that non-Jews also have commandments. What we generally call the Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach, the seven Noahide laws. I want to spend some time talking with you about the seven Noahide laws, which is actually just an extension of that which was commanded to Adam and Chava, to Adam and Eve initially as well. We'll take a look at that a little bit in the sources. Take a look at a couple of sources as well. I have some photocopies for you. And try to grapple with, I'll just start out with the following question. So non-Jews have things that they're supposed to do, which means that the Torah's religion is not just for Jews. The Torah's religion is for Jews and non-Jews. Okay. So Jews have 613 commandments, and non-Jews have
seven.
That would seem to be a very dramatic disproportion, right? You've got Jews at seven, non-Jews at 613. I think it's 83-1 or some such. It's about 83-1. So I'd like to talk a little bit about that disproportion and try to put it a little bit into perspective. For us as well, and in doing so, get an appreciation both of what it means that there is a religion, that the Torah has religion for non-Jews as well as Jews, as well as get a deeper appreciation of what's uniquely Jewish. So I'm going to pass out to you a handout. It's got two different pieces on it. One is specifically in Hebrew, and I'm just going to touch on some minor points in there. But we're going to start with the one that's translated in Hebrew and in English. And I think I have just enough copies. I think so. They're all the same. You just need one. Okay, so what we're looking at here is taken from the 9th chapter of Maimonides Code of Jewish Law.
Oh, okay.
In the book of Hilchos Melachim U'Milcham Tohem.
Okay.
Maimonides wrote a 14-volume work on Jewish law, and one of those volumes is called Hilchos Melachim, the Laws of Kings, and it has to do primarily with the way that the Jewish government is to be set up in the land of Israel, but it also deals secondarily with, as well, the arrangement of the religion, if you will, of non-Jews. So, chapter 9 begins as follows. Al Shisha Devarim Nitztava Adam Arisha. Six precepts were commanded to Adam. We think of the seven Noahide laws, it was really the sixth, and then we'll see that one gets added on for Noah.
Oh, okay.
These prohibitions are Al Avodah Zarah, worshipping of false gods, V'al Birchas Hashem, and on cursing against God, blasphemy in the fancy language. V'al Shvichos Damim, and on murder. V'al Gilui Arayos. Here it says incest and adultery. We'll expand on that slightly shortly. So what's called sexual morality. V'al Gezel, and against theft. V'al Adinim, and on setting up a system of courts.
Okay.
The six commandments were no avodah zarah, no blasphemy, no murder, no sexual immorality, no stealing, and set up courts to enforce these six laws. These are the basic six. Now, why are they referred to? Anyone tell me why we commonly hear the laws for non-Jews expressed as the seven Noahide laws. There are only six here, and they were given to Adam. So why is it seven to Noah? Does anyone know the seventh? Okay.
I think it's you can't eat from a live animal.
Correct. It's known in Hebrew as Eber Min Achai, not eating from a live animal. Noah is commanded when he comes out of the ark. Noah is commanded that you may eat animals, but if you are going to eat them, you have to kill them first. Now, I know that
seems
might
logical.
Seem, and I realize that we've got some food and dinner in front of us. I know that might seem obvious to you, but I have been told that, for example, on the Pampas, P-A-M-P-A-S, Pampas, I'm probably pronouncing that incorrectly, down in Argentina,
right
that they graze and they raise animals there, and when they're hungry, they will, because it's the freshest of the fresh, they'll simply hack a limb off.
Okay.
People actually do these things.
Oh my God, that's gross.
I know. Not pleasant. Okay. So that commandment was given to Noah. It's an additional commandment that was given to Noah. It's the seventh commandment. Adam Harishon got six. Now, it's not our subject this evening, but since we do find ourselves in a Milchins restaurant, this does raise an issue which gets a considerable amount of discussion in scholarly sources as to whether or not the original ethic that God gave to Adam and Chava was vegetarian, and that only after the flood, because after the flood the productivity of the land agriculturally was affected by the flood and was reduced, that after the flood, in order to have an adequate food supply, and permission was given to eat animals, but only if you do it in a humane fashion. Could be, this is really discussed quite a bit in halakhic sources and in other sources, it could be that the original ethic was a vegetarian ethic. It's not our topic for this evening, but, you know, I'm going to throw a little something out there to stimulate your interests.
Was that just Noah, or was it those giant people too?
Noah and Noah's generation and on.
No, but before that, was everybody but
Aaron? Well, certainly they were supposed to be.
Okay.
I can't tell. Listen, people were doing all sorts of crazy things before Noah, before the flood, so chances are that, you know, eating meat might not have been, something they were refraining from. But was the ethic originally a vegetarian ethic? Very, very interesting question. Okay. In other words, I mean, we're going to come back to what that word means. For now, I'm going to give you a very functional definition. Something that's ethical is something that you should do or could do. Something which is unethical is something you should not do. I'm actually going to come back to that very point in a moment. Okay. Now, I have quoted over here for you a midrash, and the reason why I selected this midrash, interestingly, is because at the very end of it, this midrash explains how do you know from Sukkim in the Torah, from verses in the Torah, how do you know that Adam and Chava were commanded in these six areas? And the midrash goes about doing what the midrash does, and right towards the end of it, bottom line in the Hebrew, Omer Rav Yaakov de Kfar Chonin, Rav Yaakov from Kfar Chonin said, Mosa yiskasher la'achila, when can the meat become kosher for eating? Misha tishochet, when it is slaughtered. Ramazlo, God hinted to Adam al Eber Min Achai, that you should not eat from animals without killing them. According to this source, God hinted, doesn't say he said it openly, but he sort of hinted it to Adam Harishon. Again, it's not particularly clear that God commanded that. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Talmud in Sanhedrin, does in fact say that Adam was commanded in Eber Min Achai.
Before or after they're thrown out of the
Tanya? After. Good question. Before they get thrown out?
Well,
It's all one thing. It's all one thing. Now, the reason why I mentioned the Gemara in Sanhedrin is twofold. It's an interesting point, but I also wanted to share something really neat with you. This is an iPad, and I actually, it's just an excuse to be able to show you that I now have available to me here at my fingertips. I mean, you've all been in a synagogue library, a library with lots of Jewish books. So this Gemara that I just quoted to you, which I'm going to manage to find again somehow, this Gemara which I just quoted to you is, here it is, Daf Nun Vav Amud Aleph in Sanhedrin. It's right here on the iPad. As a matter of fact, in this one particular app,
amazing.
This is really going to blow your minds, I apologize, but it's just too much fun not to share with you. Okay, this particular app is called Uvelech Lecha Vaderech.
Okay.
And you tap because you take it with you as you go.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
You tap on the app, and then when you open it up, I still fully don't know how to work it, 100%. I don't know how to get around quickly in it. Oh, here we go. So
we have a teenager here.
Right here. Yeah. Could ask Ken. That'd probably be more efficient. So when you open up the app, it gives you a menu. You can click on Tanakh. You can take a look at Torah, and here it lays out.
Here. I got it.
The Torah, you can look at it, here we are. The Torah, Perek by Perek, your Sefer Bereishis, your Sefer Shmos, if you back up, etc., etc. Oh, we're just getting started. Well, believe me, we're just getting started. You can do it by Parshas, so here's all the Nevi'im. Oh, let's take a look at Ovadia. I like Ovadia because it's really short. Anyone? It's the shortest Sefer in Tanakh. It's 21 psukim. So, you can knock off a whole Sefer in one sitting. Okay, here's Nevi'im, Suvim. If you want to say Tehillim, you can do that too. Now we're just getting started. Here's all of the Mishnah. There are six orders to the Mishnah. Zrayim, Moed, Nashim, Nezikim, Kachim, and Taras. Let's take a look at Seder Moed, Masechta Shabbos, Erevim, Sukkah, Shkolim, Yom HaSukkah, Beitzah, Rosh Hashanah, Tanis, Megillah, Moed, Katan, Chagiga. We just did Sukkah. We'll click on Sukkah. Here's the five chapters. Here in the fifth chapter. By the way, here is the text. In black, you can see the text of the Mishnah. Below it, in orange, is the Rebbe Ovadia Bar Chanura, which is a classic commentary similar to Rashi on the Mishnah. And then below that, in the blue, is the Tosos Yom Tov, which is also a classic commentary on the Mishnah. Okay? This is a single volume of Midrash Rabbah.
It's heavy.
This is an iPad. Just some more, just to give you a little bit more before we get back to our main subject.
Is that different than a Kindle?
Just in the different types of things you can get. You can't. They're probably equivalent things for in the Android world. I know there are in the Android world. There are equivalent things. I don't know if the Kindle runs. I think it does. Runs on Android, right? Anybody?
All this stuff is stored in this little thing. Or it's stored in another place so you can get all of them someplace else.
It's in here. I have no internet access right now.
You put it in?
Yeah. You load it up, and it stores it in here.
How many megabytes does that have?
This device has 64 megabytes of storage.
And so for each...
Which, by the way, is 50% larger than the first computer I bought, which cost me
$2,000. Oh, yes.
And couldn't do any of this stuff. But that was a long time ago.
Right.
And if you have Wi-Fi, you can get anything from a cloud.
Oh, yeah, sure.
iTunes, and you can load anything.
Here's, let's take, here's all of the Gemara, the Talmud Bavli and Yerushalmi. Here's the Talmud Bavli, and you go page by page. Now, for the classicists among us who say, well, if I'm going to learn Gemara, I want it to look just like a Gemara, we can do that, too. And you can zoom in, you can make it larger, you can make it smaller. There are actually ways in some programs to highlight things and take notes. It's really cool. Okay, well, wait. If you order now, we'll throw in the knives.
Yes.
Of course, you should have Tanakh is helpful. Here's Tanakh. Right, we've got a Voracious, and then we've got the Rashi's over here, and all sorts of other neato features. Anyway, it's all pretty cool. By the way, here's the Siddur app that I bought, and I can get the Zmanim anywhere in the world that I haven't found at the Zmanim. Or if you want to know where to catch a minion, you press on minion. I don't have an internet connection now, unfortunately, but if you press on minion, here we go. From my house, It will tell me where all the Minyanim within 20 miles are.
Wow.
At least the ones that have listed themselves with the service. So, Avos Torah is 9.9 miles away, 1425 Ron Street in Philadelphia,
right.
And they have Minyanim. Let's see. Avos Torah, Davin Shacharis on Sundays at 7 and 8. Mincha in the winter, 12:45 and 20 minutes before sunset, and Sundays only, blah, 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 etc., etc. It's a lot of fun. Okay. Yes, those are also available, yes. All these, pretty much everything. There's more available in Hebrew and English, but there's a tremendous amount available in English also.
Is art scroll available on it?
What?
Is art scroll available on it?
Yes, art scroll has begun releasing art scroll Talmuds. Oh, since you asked. We've got some of that. We got some of that for you. Hold on, I have to remember where I put it.
He doesn't need a teenager. He's having a good time.
Oh, no, I'm having such a good time.
We actually,
let's see, Art Scroll Talmud. Here we go.
Art Scroll has its own Talmud?
Art Scroll has a version of the Talmud. No, this app does not require a connection to the internet for daily use, the Isernet. Okay. Following the ruling of leading rabbinic figures, the internet should only be used with appropriate filters. Okay, now, here's the Gemara, here's the Art Scroll. Here's the Art Scroll. I don't know, you gotta ask
appropriate
them.
Filters?
You gotta ask them. I'm not okay. Sure. Well, here's your Art Scroll Gemara. So I got mine, as will all the students in all the Jewish day schools in the area. I got mine through the middle school and high school. I got mine through the Kohelet Foundation. Kohelet Foundation is actually buying iPads for all our middle and high school students. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. No, you're not. Too old for this?
No, no, no. To say I'm a high school student.
Oh, too old to say you're a high school student. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe. All right, a little flattered.
I can act like one.
Okay.
So wait a minute. Does that preclude the students from having to get a set of Gemara?
I think that you'll see that most of the schools, or all the schools, continue to use the Gemara. There's just something about the Gemara text, and obviously on Shabbos, etc. But
right.
We've used it to replace all our reference farm. We don't have to give kids reference farm anymore.
Oh,
the Mishnah Brewer's on here. The Shulchan Aruch's on here. It's all here. Okay, but we didn't come to talk about the iPad. So let me talk a little bit more about the idea of the mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Right, we've got this wild. What did we say the ratio was? 81 to 80 something. Okay. So I'm going to read you something else from the Rambam. The Rambam already has said that we got a family audience here, so I got to be a little bit careful. It would have been so much easier. Okay, so the Rambam said, V'algilu arayos, that one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach is sexual morality. The Rambam, a few pages later, explains with a little bit more detail. And the Rambam says, Sheish arayos osuros al b'nei Noach. There are six relationships that are prohibited to a non-Jew. Ha'ein, the parent, the Eishes Ha'av, the step-parent, the Eishes Ish, adultery, the Achoso Me'imo, a sister through the mother, Uzichor, homosexuality, Ubehema, animals. Okay, yeah, we all agree it's disgusting. We all agree. Okay, but here's the point. When we count the Taryag mitzvahs, we talk about 613 mitzvahs.
Right.
We don't have a single mitzvah called sexual morality. Each of these individual, and many more actually for Jews, each of these individual relationships is prohibited, and each one counts towards the 613 commandments.
Oh, okay.
So, what we seem to be calling seven mitzvahs doesn't compare well to what we call 613 mitzvahs. Our 613 mitzvahs are every one of the individual mitzvahs, and as they are broken out, it's not categorized. It turns out that the Zion mitzvahs b'nei Noach The seven Noahide laws are really categories which have individual mitzvos under them. So, for example, using this one, if there are six prohibited relationships for B'nai Noach, now instead of seven mitzvos, you have 12 mitzvos. You've just added a bunch of mitzvos. Interestingly, actually, I'll come back to that later. I'm sorry. So, I'd like to suggest as follows. One of the great projects of the medieval philosophers, and one of my term papers in college, was about what they would often try to do, the Ralbag, the Albo, and others, is they tried to show how you could get all 613 mitzvos to fit into the Aseres HaDibros, into the Ten Commandments. Let's think about the Ten Commandments. You get a lot, you can squeeze a lot of things into there. You can put all the Yom Tovim under Shabbos, all of the sexual halachas fall under adultery, all of your court law falls under don't swear falsely, don't testify falsely in court, etc., etc. So here's my proposition to you. I would like to say that when we say that we have 613 mitzvahs and B'nai Noach have seven, that we're comparing apples to oranges. That really, the comparison is as follows. We have 10 commandments. We have the Aseres HaDibros. We have 10 categories. And they have 6. Not 7. I'll tell you why in a minute. We have 10 and they have 6. And then Aver Menachai got added later. So they're the base 6. Onam Chava gets 6. There's the base 6. We have 10. They have 6. When you blow them out and you start to specify the individual commandments, then you have where we have 613 and they have, actually, depending on who's doing the counting, I've seen as high as like 230, I believe, or something. There's a book called The Path of the Righteous Gentile, because someone wrote a book of halacha, of Jewish law. Well, if a Gentile wants to follow the Zion Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, they need a book. They don't need 6 lines in the Rambam. They need a book to tell them all the various mitzvahs. Their count was, I believe, maybe it was in the 180s. I'm sorry, I was getting confused with this. It might have been in the 180s. But anyway, a lot of mitzvahs. Once you start to specify them out and build them out as individual mitzvahs, you get a much higher number. So now let's talk about our proportions. We thought we had an 83-to-1 ratio or some such. Really what we have is 10-to-6. 10-to-6 is pretty close.
Yeah.
Now, why do I say 10-to-6 and not 7? Aver Menachai was added later. And by the way, what's the Jewish parallel? What's the Torah parallel for Jews for Aver Menachai? Shechita. Right? We do Shechita. We shout. Right? Interestingly, that's not directly mentioned in the Torah either. It's nowhere to be found in the Torah. It's learned out today. We know how to do it from Karbanos. It's learned out from a pasuk, but it's not specifically mentioned. It's not included in the Aseres HaDibros either. So let's leave that aside for a second. You've got 6 versus 10. Okay? So let's do an exercise. Ready? We're going to go through the Ten Commandments, and we're going to identify which ones are the same and which ones are uniquely Jewish. And here we go. I've been asking Yeshiva Boy to tell me the Ten Commandments in order. But usually Yeshiva boys don't know these things. Unless
right,
off the
they're right there, right there.
Even though I think they know it. I think they know it. And if they had their iPad, they definitely would know it. But, just in case. First commandment is, Anokhi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, that you created the land of Egypt, and now it's the Father. Universal or Jewish?
Universal.
That is definitely Jewish. You should not have any other gods before me. Universal or Jewish?
Universal.
It's right on here.
Yeah.
Don't take God's name in vain.
Universal
or Jewish?
Universal.
Universal. It's actually the source for blasphemy as well, or it's a related source for blasphemy in halacha and Jewish law.
Wow.
Observe the Shabbos. Universal or Jewish?
Jewish.
Honor thy mother and thy father. Universal or Jewish?
Jewish?
It is Jewish.
Yeah.
Do not murder.
Universal.
Do not commit adultery.
Universal.
Do not steal.
Universal.
Do not undermine the court system.
Universal.
Right? The sixth, the last one, number six here, is the court system.
Right.
You have to have a court system. It's the parallel. If you have a court system, lying in court will undermine the court system. Okay. We're going to say that as close as possible. And do not covet.
Jewish.
Correct. It looks like.
Very interesting. Do not covet is a very, very interesting commandment. Do not covet is a very interesting commandment. I just want to explain do not covet for a second. Because it would seem, well, you shouldn't be jealous. Non-Jews can be jealous and Jews can't be jealous. Coveting is not jealousy. Here's the following chilek, the following difference. The Torah doesn't legislate emotions. It can't tell you not to have an emotional reaction. You know something? I see somebody and I don't know, they just got a newer car, a newer used car than I did. I just bought it, parked outside, very proud of my 1998 Honda Accord. Okay, they got a 2005 Honda Accord.
Okay.
I'm a little jealous. It might be a natural reaction to be jealous.
Yes.
That's not prohibited. Might not be the healthiest thing, but it's not prohibited. It's one thing to say, oh, I wish I had a 2005. It's a very different thing to say, I want your 2005. That's coveting. Coveting isn't, I want to have a beautiful thing like the other guy has. Coveting is, I want to have her beautiful thing. That's coveting. All right, Jews aren't allowed to covet. Okay? Be a whole interesting discussion in its own right. So let's go back. Specifically, the Jewish historical experience, the Shabbos, honoring parents. By the way, that doesn't mean that non-Jews get to be not nice to their parents or unappreciative to their parents. Okay, there's a specific super added responsibilities of kibud al va'em that Jews have that run deeper than that for non-Jews. And finally, coveting, where I guess supposed to be spiritually a little bit more healthy. Okay, so we've got 10 to 6, which means we've got, let's call it 613 to 185.
Isn't the 613 really the limit of the number that we have? I
mean,
I guess they're called mitzvahs, but we have sub mitzvahs within them too, don't we?
We have derabbanans, and for that matter, everyone who counts the 613 mitzvahs only counts the big debates, Ramban and others, about what to count, but they definitely don't count certain things that are like Beis HaMikdash related, that you're not going to find. There are a lot of things that aren't in there. But still, at the end of the day, once you take the denominator, if you will, up to 185, your ratio is going to be much more expectable that what non-Jews are commanded in terms of having a religion in this week's Parsha, what non-Jews are commanded to have a religion is much... It's a religion. It's a robust religious experience relative to the Torah's religion. So now I'm going to come back to ethical. I mentioned ethics before and somebody asked what that is. And here's the upshot of all of this. Really, there's only one religion for the world. Listen carefully. Give me a minute here. There's only one religion for the world. That religion is what we're going to call ethical monotheism. God wants everybody to be ethical monotheists. What that means is as follows. There's two words. Let's start with the second one. Easier to define. Monotheism means we believe that there is a single deity. There's a single God, single force. Good. Ethical means that deity has certain things that he commands that a person should or should not do. Ethical monotheism is the religion for the world. Jews and non-Jews ended up with different ethical monotheisms because the non-Jews started with it. They dropped the ball. God started over again with Noah, dropped the ball again. So God had a basic problem. How does God get the entire world to be ethical monotheists? He can't wipe everybody out again. Why? Promise not to. Right? So now God's got a problem. How do you get everyone to come to where they should be as good ethical monotheists? Create a role model nation.
Oh, okay.
That role model nation
is going to move everyone to be good ethical monotheists. Who is that role model nation which sometimes spurns the jealousy to which you referred?
Israel.
The Jewish people, B'nai Israel. We're the model nation. Now, to be the model nation, we have to be not just good ethical monotheists like we expect everybody else to be. We have to be ultra. We have to be like super ethical monotheists. So what do we have? We have a religion which is built around a particular historical experience that gives us a sense of purpose, and we have one day a week which we set aside for reflection, and even one out of 7 years we set aside for reflection with the Shemitah, and we have we use the family as the jumping off point, respect for parents' family as the jumping off point for building our society in a more intense way, and we're supposed to be less materialistic, and we're supposed to be a goy kadosh, we're supposed to separate ourselves in certain ways, because otherwise the people we're trying to influence will influence us. But God has a problem to solve, and that is he wants everybody to be good ethical monotheists, just like the plan. It's our job to inspire them and to get them to be there. And to do that, so we're super ethical monotheists, so we're like the priests to the rest of the world. Hence the pasuk in Shmos, right before the Jews are given the Torah, and with this I'll close. God says to the Jewish people, if you listen to the Torah, you observe the commandments, v'yislam sigul and kol amim, you will be a select portion from amongst all the nations, ki li kol haaretz, because all the world is mine, I'm concerned about everybody, v'atem, but you, t'yuli, v'atem t'yuli, you will be for me, mamleches kohanim, a kingdom of priests, v'goy kadosh, and a holy nation. How many people here are a Kohen or the daughter of a Kohen? Not me. Right? What do you mean we're a kingdom of priests? We're not a kingdom of priests. Only some people are Kohanim. We're not a kingdom of priests to the Jewish people. We're a kingdom of priests. All of us have the role of Kohen, a priest of the inspirer of the other nations. At the same time, we have to be a Kohen Kadosh. We have to be a separate nation. We have to maintain a certain distance, because if we don't, the very people we're trying to influence will ultimately
influence us.
It's all one religion. It starts here. We have a Saras Adibros. They have their six. But ultimately, it's all one religion. And, we should just be Zocha. We should all merit to see the day where instead of their coveting what we have because it's so good and wanting to take what we have, they want our land, and they want that instead of coveting what we have, they should be a little jealous. Maybe that jealousy will motivate everybody and the world will come around, and we'll be fixed. Yimosa Mashiach, everything will get back to the garden. Get back to the garden.